Genesis 24. If you're there, get over there. It ought to be easy to find. I'm just going to read two verses. I'll use most of this chapter as a backdrop for the message. I do have a truth that I want to bring from these verses. And if you would stand reverently with your Bibles open tonight, and let's give honor to the reading of the Word of God. I'll read, pray, and preach. And then we'll have our meeting for the members after the service. Genesis 24 and 26. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And the man being the servant of Abraham, bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute, my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Strong verse. Father, help me to preach with so much power, so much liberty. Bind Satan. Bind anybody that's following the devil tonight. Help us to preach like we've never preached before. I need to preach hard. Need to preach strong. I need to preach a message of faith and vision tonight. Help me, Lord, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. As you're seated, most of you know the background of this scripture. You're familiar, if you're a Bible student, with the life of Abraham. Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans. He was called to a place he'd never been. Somebody say amen. He was called, didn't even know where he's going. Didn't even have a GPS. God just said, "Get out of there." Am I preaching? And follow me. We know how God did great miracles in Abraham's life. Abraham made a couple detours, but all of us make detours. But I'm glad the Bible said he was a man of faith. In chapter 23, his wife dies. Mother Sarah dies. He's almost ready to die himself. Chapter 24 brings us to a great portion of scripture. We are finding that Abraham has a concern. He was wanting his boy to have a wife. By the way, you say, "Preacher, what's that? Why would that be a concern to Abraham?" Because all the promises were going to rest upon Isaac. Somebody say amen. And I'll get into all that significance in just a second. But everything was going to rest on him. And by the way, he said, "I'm not done with Isaac. God's going to use Isaac. Then from Isaac, we're going to get the 12 children of Israel." Somebody say amen right there. And this thing's going to start going ahead. And here's what he said. Abraham said to his servant, he said, "You're going to have to go and fetch that wife." Say with me. He tell him, one man, it is your job.
That's right.
It's yours to go out and get that woman. Hello. You say, what's so significant about it? The whole messianic promise of God was resting on it. Amen. The birth of Jesus was resting on. Our Savior was resting on. Everything that God had planned for you and me and for the whole world was resting on this one man and his choice to do right. Wow. By the way, he had to get it right. It couldn't be like this. Oops. No. No oops. No room for failure. No room from deviating. You got to find my son Isaac a wife. Amen. And if that was on him, he had to be governed by God. He had to be guided by God. He had to have God's GPS system in him. He had to do it by faith. But I'm glad I saw something in verse 27. Lord, you look here for a minute. This right here up and grabbed me. I don't know if it grabbed you when I read it. It grabbed me. He said, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Well, glory to God. When he says Lord there, he means Jehovah, the self-existent one, the creator, glory, the one that breathed in man's nostrils and he become a living soul, the one that holds the whole world in his hand, the one that has you in his hand, the one that keeps the believer saved. Somebody help me preach right there. He ordered me. He guided me. Now let me give you the message. Look at this little phrase in verse 27. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I want to preach on this. I, being in the way. Well, let me ask you this. Are you in the way or are you in the way? No. You said, no, what? That sounds a little contradictory. No, there's two definitions of being in the way. Number one definition is, in the way means blocking someone else from going forward. Get out in front of me. Get right there. He's in my way. Get out of my way. He's in my way. You're all right. I know I'm not supposed to be a brawler, but that's one definition, but that's not the definition here. The second definition is in the way, is in the bullseye, in the center, right in the middle of God's will. Here's what he was saying. I've got to be in the way. I can't have an oops. I can't have a mulligan. Every time I go golfing with Denny Humphrey, I say, Denny, how many mullins I get? You say, what's a mulligan? It's a do-over. You know, if I blast one over in the water, I get to hit another one. Don't count. I average about 9 mulligans per 9. But this man of God was not going to get a do-over. He had to do it once, and he had to do it right, and he could not make a mistake in what he was doing. Somebody say amen right there. Hey, God didn't lead you by accident. He didn't lead us by coincidence. He leads us by his great providence and by his Holy Ghost of God. That's how we're led every day. Amen. I open the Bible every Sunday morning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I open the Bible. I'm not unsure. I know that this Bible has his commands, has his instructions, has his desire for the church, for my life and for your life and for my happiness and your happiness. Amen. I preach every Sunday to married people. I preach every Sunday to singles. I preach every Sunday to the seasoned saint. I preach every Sunday to the deacons, to the young men, to the pastors. And I want you to know something. This man, how many of y'all agree with me? This one man in his choice had the pressure on him. How many agree with that? He had the pressure on him. I want you to know something. To live a life for God today and to live the way you ought to live today is a life of pressure. For me to be the pastor to lead this place, for you to be the member to follow the pastor, for you to be a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, a choir member, or whatever you do, it is pressure. And you can't oops it. You can't just say, give me a mulligan. I got to get it right. I got to be in God's will. I got to be led by God. I got to have his hand on me.
Amen.
Am I preaching? I come to this church, I see crying people, hurting people. The last 3 weeks of my ministry, I believe I've put more tourniquets and more salve in wounds and hurts and cried more tears and hugged more people than I've done in years. People's under pressure. I want you to know we're going to do this kind of work. We need guidance. We need the direction. We need some real leadership. Somebody help me preach right there. How you make it? The Lord led me. How you going to make it? It's got to be God's way. Somebody say amen. And there's a price to pay if it's God's way. I'm going to say something tonight. I want to refute some of your skeptical, negative friends. You don't have to fail. Amen. You don't have to lose it. There's people falling by the wayside every day. You don't have to fall. You don't have to say oops. You got the Holy Ghost. You got somebody guiding you. You know, it's so amazing to me that we give so much attention to stuff that can't even help us. You say, what do you want for your Christian life? I need direction. How do you know? Now, here's what I'm preaching on. I said all that to say this. How do you even know if you're in the way or not? The servant said, I being in the way. Can I give you three or four things from this passage? I hope you follow it in the Bible. Number one, if you're in the way, brother, you got to be submissive. Somebody say amen. Hey, you can't get anywhere if the Bible's not your final authority. You can't get anywhere in life if the church and the pastor is not the authority. You can't get anywhere in your marriage if the husband isn't the leader and the wife a submissive follower as she follows the husband in the Lord. Somebody say amen. You got to follow God's order. You got to be submissive. Let me tell you what you're submissive to. First of all, you're submissive to the spoken word. Look at verse 2. It said, and Abraham said. Look at verse 6. And Abraham said. Ladies and gentlemen, choir leader, pastor, deacon, Sunday school teacher, Awana leader, nursery help, you're not going to be submissive unless you follow God's spoken word. Somebody say amen. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of the Lord, blessed are they that meditate on it day and night. Somebody say amen. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God. Somebody help me. The Bible said you're clean through the word that is spoken to you. You cannot be in God's will without God's word. Don't you dare come up and say, Pastor, but, Pastor, but, Pastor this and Pastor that, if you're not following God's word. Don't give me what you feel. Don't give me your headaches and your life experience worth about a nickel. Give me the word. Give me what thus saith God. Am I preaching? I wouldn't give you a nickel for a pastor, a choir leader, a wanna leader, a Sunday school teacher that cannot be submissive to the will of God. Am I preaching? Not only was he submissive to the spoken word, he was submissive to the special will. Noah said, now listen, you ain't gonna find this woman among these Canaanites. I don't want no heathen for him. Oh, can I bog down a minute? We got so many people, they want worldly music in the church. You look at me right here. When I die, it'll be up to some of y'all to direct the music. But long as air is getting down in my lungs, we're going to have the right kind. I am not going to let nobody put contemporary music behind our pulpit. I'm not going to rock Jesus. I'm not even going to lean there. It bothers me. I want to tell you, it bothers me when church people that would even say, we're one step away from being contemporary. You look me. That's a slap in my face. We ain't going to be one step. We ain't going to be one inch from contemporary. We're going to be miles away from it. We're going to sing old timey songs. We're going to sing songs that got some real scriptural meaning. We're going to sing some stuff that's real. And I'm not telling you that new music isn't good. I never heard that song Lindsey Houghton sang this morning, but I've been shouting about it all day. But you don't have to get up and act like some rock idiot. I got to get off that. It's submission to a specific will, then submission to special wishes. You gotta find her. Now here's hey boy, this is on you. The pressure's on you. You got to find the right one. So he had to have submission. Number two, look at verse nine through fourteen. Not only did he have to have submission, but he also had to have supplication. I want to tell you what, there'll be no real leadership and no real guidance unless you're going to the Lord in prayer. Somebody say amen. The Bible said, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning the matter. Here's what he actually done. He put his hand right here. And that was a symbolic thing. He put his hand right here and said, I swear to you. I swear to you.
That's right.
I'm getting the job done. Boy, that right there. Whoa! Look, 12 through 14. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. He had supernatural access. Somebody raise your hand if you think it's real great that you get to go to the throne of grace and mercy in a time of need, and you never get a busy signal when you call on God. You never get, I'll put you on hold. You never get, I'm on the other line. Aren't you glad that God can be on 8 billion people's line at one time? Lord have mercy. Then he had a sincere appeal. He said, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw. Man, he had sincere appeal. He was sincerely saying, man, I'm here. And then he had a specific asking. Boy, I like this. Look here in verse 14. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And shall say, drink, and I will drink. And give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. You have not because you ask not. How many believe? Instead of shooting with a shotgun, I shoot with a rifle and pinpoint it. You got a need from God? Hey, I got to shout, Brother Rich O'Brien. We ain't got time to do all his testimony, but he was up in the prayer room sharing what God done to him, done for him. He's let him drag for about a year of dragging. Man, it's been a tough year for Brother Rich. But I'll tell you one thing, Brother Rich did. He followed Pastor 40. He came to me for some advice. I give him advice. And then, hey, by the way, when you get the right advice, you better do all the stand. And his goal was to get, and let me shorten this thing up. It was specific. He said, I want to get me a job back at home where I can be with my sweetie. I don't want to live in an apartment every week of my life. I don't want to be away from my wife. I don't want to be away from my family. I don't want to be away from my dad. I don't want to be away from the church. I want you to do that. And guess what? God done that. You said, I'm afraid to pray specifically. You'll never get an answer till you pray specifically. You know what you are? You're trying to be, what you want? You want to be real broad so you can get out of it. Come on now. That's how you know. Let me go on. It's good stuff, isn't it? Number three. Now, I'll just touch this one. Not only did he have supplication, He had success. Oh, yeah. By the way, how you know you're in the way? Well, I know. I know how you know. If God blesses it and you're successful. Hey, Brother Harrison, some of you preachers, listen to me. If I'd have listened to the naysayers, I wouldn't have went one step forward. Somebody help me preach. I don't have to have somebody come up and pat me on the back and say, man, look what God's doing. I already know what he's doing. Somebody say amen right there. Hey, by the way, you know how you know you're in the way? It's not how many people you get mad at you every week. I want to tell you how you know that God's in the way. He's got his hand on you. He's let you succeed. He's blessing your life despite your opposition, despite your adversity, despite all the hell the devil throws at you. God blessing you. Amen. I want to tell you, Chad, you and the two Jareds, you're in the way. God's blessing you. You're doing good. Four people were saved in Frontline last night. Hey, we're in the way. We're feeding hundreds of people every month. We're seeing people saved every month. We're seeing teenagers turn their life around every month. You say, well, how do you know you're successful? Because if God puts his hand on it. Number four, what else do you do when you're in the way? Look at verse number 26, 27 again. Not only was there some supplication, there's some success, but also there was some shouting. Somebody, amen. Look what he done. And the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. Whew. Why did the man magnify God? Because he found the woman. See, can I tell y'all something? When God starts putting his hand on you, you better start praising him. Amen. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, I see the worshiper's posture. You get down, you bow. Amen. I see the worthy praise. I see the wonderful perception. Some of you shout at the football team. I know some of you were shouting Friday night when West Virginia won that basketball game. And I know when they don't lose, I can't even get an amen out of you in church when they do lose. Friend, he found you in the muck of the mire. He found you deep in sin. He found you and saved you and adopted you and made you an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. And I know some of you say, well, I'm not a shouter and I'm not even a waver or be a somethinger. If you can't shout, you can't wave, you think you could cry, you think you could shed a tear, Don't tell me you're not emotional. Don't tell me you don't cry. Don't tell me you don't have any emotion at all. Hey, do something.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Probably a good place to start is just smile.
Amen.
I think you done got saved if you smile. Hey, if you can't say nothing, just raise up a holy hand. That's scriptural. Amen. Just say amen once in a while. You want to get this preacher moving on forward, just throw out an amen one night. It's just like throwing a T-bone to a Rottweiler.
Yeah. Amen.
Say, I ain't made that way. Yes, you are. You just not made that way in church. I don't know where you went to church before you went here, but if it was some dead, dried up stuff, we don't allow dead, dried up stuff. In here, we want God here. We want life. We want the Holy Ghost moving here.
Amen.
My preacher, we've had some people testify in the last two or three weeks, got up and shout and praise the Lord. How many say that was wonderful?
Amen.
Let me go on. I got to finish this message. Well, how else do I know that I'm in the way? Now, this really gets good here. This really gets good, Jared. You'll know in your way, if you're in the way, by how much steadfastness you have. Now, here's what he had to do, this servant. First of all, he had to get Rebecca, who he had never met, talked in to pack her bags and go to the other country and meet a man she'd never seen. And marry him. Hello. How many believe that's... Somebody raise your hand. Believe that's something. Uh-huh. See, there's a committed rehearsal here. He went over how this all happened. He went over it twice. Somebody say amen. Then there was a convincing reception. He talked her into it. But there was another problem. He didn't only have to talk her into it, but if you look at verse 42, verse 55, look at verse 50. Somebody get to 55. He not only had to talk her into it, he had to talk her brother into it and her mother. Ain't very many of you moms want to let your daughter or son get married to somebody they ain't never seen. And you don't even know what their bankroll is. Hello. Hey, man, said verse 55. This is a wonderful verse. It makes me giggle. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she shall go. And he said unto them, I want to say to anybody who wants to hinder God, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire of her mouth. How many believe that was pressure? I want one of your little, I want Emma. I'm taking Emma on a journey. Don't nod your head. Don't you shake your head no at me, mommy. Emma's going on a journey. Her journey is going to be with the man of God, who's a picture of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to take Emma, and Emma's going to be the greatest Christian in the world and going to have the most magnificent husband in the world. And Amelie says, but who is he? Right? Can you put yourself in that place? Took some convincing, didn't it? I'll tell you what. One of the hardest jobs a pastor has, Joe, is to convince church members just to follow. Get with it. Don't wait 10 days. We ain't got 10 days. Now. That's why a lot of people don't like hard preaching. You know what hard preaching is? It's convincing stuff. Why don't you giggle over his story? Isn't it something? Be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Somebody asked me, he said, you ever feel like quitting? About every Monday. And it really is bad when I want to do it on Sunday before church. Yeah, I want to quit every once in a while. You'd want to quit too if all you hear is somebody griping about 24/7. But, you know, I know that everybody's supposed to be sheep, but why does everybody say Pastor Butt? That sounds like a goat to me. I put a whole lot on you, boy. You're doing a lot right now. But be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's a love tap. I'm leaving your little naughty head alone right now. And then verse 63, look at this. I see satisfaction. Boy, oh boy. Will you please go to 63? Now, verse 63, Isaac knows all this is happening. And look at 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. Now, I know what y'all might be thinking, but I'm going to tell you what he was thinking. What do you think he was meditating on? I hope that servant did right. This is my whole life. And I want her to be smart. And if she has a little money, I want that too. But I really want her to have a good figure. And I want her to be pretty. He said, it's not in there. Well, you think he was meditating about when he knew a woman's come to see him. Amen? Yeah. When Marguerite got the pleasure of dating me. God help you, honey. Let me tell you something, friend. Let me tell you what God done. She didn't know this, but when I went to Pinch Baptist Church the night I got saved, I saw her in there, and I told Bill Lamont, buddy, out the bus, that's my woman there. That's going to be my wife. Took her 6 months to even want to date me, but that was her, okay? Oh, she's pretty. She's still good looking. Amen. Whatever you're doing, honey, you keep doing it. But quit falling down steps. Verse 64, the Bible, and I don't want to know you carnal Christians get in this now. The Bible said, and Rebekah lifted her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lit off a camel. Some people believe she lit a camel. No, she lit off the camel. In other words, she was excited. How many believe it's real good to still be excited about what God's doing? There was a divine connection. There was a definite contentment. I believe when he saw her and she saw him, they is in love.
Amen.
And then there was a dynamic conclusion. Look what it says over here in verse 67. And Isaac brought her into her mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And Isaac loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Whew. Ain't nothing like being satisfied. I could end this sermon and do it justice by ending right there. But I see something else there. Maybe you didn't see it, but I did. I also see salvation there. How many of y'all see salvation there? Because see, God was going to use Isaac to propagate his plan. And guess what will happen later? 2,000 years ago, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob would go and die upon Calvary's cross. And if the servant would have got it wrong, there'd have been no Savior. If a servant had got it wrong, there'd have been no salvation. If a servant had got it wrong, we'd be in hell right now. But how many of you are glad that the servant got it right?
Yes.
And I want you to know, God in your life wants you to be in the way and get it right. If you're not in the way tonight, I'm talking about in the will of God. You ought to come around this altar and just pray it to be in the will of God. Stand, those getting baptized, go ahead and depart for the baptistry. People coming and getting on the altar. Y'all just come. Stand with me. Man, I want to get it right. Our Lord, thank you for this time together. Lord, thank you for this great story. I want to be in the way. I don't want to be in somebody's way, but I want to be in the center of your will. God, you bless, you touch, You help. You move. And we'll praise you and honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Where he leads.
Come on. How many just think you ought to come and pray about the will of God? How many think you ought to just pray about what God wants out of your life? Maybe you need to pray about your husband or a wife. Maybe you ought to pray about your job or your future.
I will follow.
Oh, yes.
I'll go.
I'm telling you, find God's will tonight. Find God's will tonight. Get in the bullseye. Get in the bullseye.
I can hear my Savior calling.
Yes.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can. Take the cross and follow.